in regards to what I tweeted, it was information that I received through a friend that is very, very involved in NFL, in the NFL. It wasn't, I didn't talk to anybody from the Steelers. I didn't talk to Omar, nothing like that. It was someone who has been involved in a lot of conversations, basically, you know, a third or fourth party. This same individual told me about the Justin Fields trade well, way before it happened. You know what I mean?
So that's Brian McFadden talking with Matt Cole last night, the evening show right here on 93.7 The Fan. He had been radio silent. He hadn't tweeted since he said the Steelers were close to acquiring a significant playmaker. And he said basically he heard it from a friend of a friend of a friend. He also at another point in this interview said he's not an insider and he's really uncomfortable with all the attention that he's received from this. And so that's kind of why he's been staying off social media since it went out there. But here's why I still won't dismiss this out of hand. And you might be listening and go, he just said he heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy. Same guy who told him about Justin Fields. Now, I know how this works. You get told something, it's right. You get told by that person again, something's going to happen. Yeah, you're going to put it out there. I've had that happen to me before, too. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. When I heard Charlie Partridge was going to Miami, and then he didn't wind up going to Miami, I heard that from a source who told me that Mark Whipple was going to leave. And so why would I not have trusted him for the second thing? So BMAC himself is not the guy getting firsthand information, but he's being given information from somebody who's in the know. And I don't think you dismiss it out of hand. There's still a smoking gun here, people. And we got to bring this up. They restructured Alex Highsmith's contract. They got $7 million extra bucks to work with here that they didn't need to make that happen the day before the draft. They did so thinking they might make a draft day trade. They did so knowing there's a lot more offseason to go. These are the kind of things that sometimes happen right before the start of the season so that you can be prepared if injuries should happen. You got to go out in there and get a guy or two or five or six or seven. But they did it now for a reason. I still think they're getting a wide receiver, Dorn. They need one. There's that smoking gun. And the guy who knows the guy who knows the guy got the Justin Fields thing right before.
Well, I think that's exactly where we should stand, is that, you know, even though BMAC threw that out there, I tend to believe that it is definitely true just based off of, you know, who he is and his connections. And like you just said, the previous. But I also stand where we were yesterday. They need one. Like, I don't need Brian McFadden to tell me that they need one. I don't even need Omar Khan to go on Pat McAfee's show to dismiss it and say that there's nothing to see here, basically. I know that you need another receiver. You cannot go into the 2024 season. You can't really even go into OTAs or training camp with the receivers that you have. Like, you can get by for sure, but you don't restructure a player's deal to create more money and not use it. And what are you going to use it on? A backup center? No.
Right.
Are you going to use it on a backup tight end? No.
I mean, you might use it on a guy like Stephon Gilmore, who we talked about before, okay. But how much money is he really going to command? Not that much.
Right.
Not to where you need to have, what do they have now? $17 million, something like that in cap space. Stephon Gilmore at 33 years old isn't going to break the bank.
Right.
But a guy like DK Metcalf, post June 1st, you need money. Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, you need money. Any of the names, you need money. You're not doing it for bleeps and giggles.
Right. They're telling us that they need one. That's all I need to know. You don't need to tell me directly, but you're by the moves that you've made and the misses that you've had in the offseason and the draft tells me, and the trades that you made for trading one of your receivers at that point told me that you need a receiver.
Yes.
And not just a young
Mike
guy.
Williams.
Not just a young guy that you get in the draft. No, you need a legit number two.
Mm-hmm. They have filled out their wide receiver room, I think, in a good way. You've got two young guys in Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin III, who, of course, Roman can't be proven, but both are unproven. You've got a young number one, number two guy in George Pickens. You've added two veterans who have been productive, though not great in their NFL careers. You're missing one thing, a guy. and you traded someone who is guy adjacent when you lost Deontay Johnson. Here's a text. I think this will be educational for the people. And you can text us at 412-928-9370. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Hey, Crowley, slow down a little and think. How much money did you say they just saved? How much is Najee's fifth-year option? Okay, yeah, they did save $7 million. And Najee's fifth-year option is $7 million, but not for this year.
Next year.
For the following year.
Correct.
So those two things aren't tied together.
No.
I can understand why you would think that, but no, they're not tied together. You're not doing it for fun. You're not doing it because you're bored and you're Omar Khan and you like to play with numbers because you were the cap guy for 20 years. No, you're doing it because you think something's coming, or if an opportunity should present itself, you don't want to have to cross the T's and dot the I's at that point. You want it to have been done already.
Prepared.
You are prepared. Now, maybe it's a free agent. I know that Mike Florio joined the PM guys yesterday and threw out Odell Beckham Jr. I don't want Odell Beckham Jr., but I'll repeat what I said whenever Bostic was here. If it's this room by itself, or it's this room and OBJ, I would take this room and OBJ before I took this room without adding another guy. Like, if he is the break glass in case of emergency, dude, I'm okay with it.
Fine.
Yeah. Now, I'd rather have Tyler Boyd, which I just don't understand the Steelers' disinterest there. Like, I think Tyler, maybe him going on visits in interviews with other teams this week is actually a good thing for the Steelers. Maybe he's going to find out where his value truly lies. I think he was waiting around to see if he could make number two-ish wide receiver money. I think he's going to find out here quickly he's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that sends him back Pittsburgh's way. I would still do that. I know you'd still do that.
I think they would still do that. And what they've also told us is that they're going to be very patient with a lot of things. They're patient with the center position. They're patient with this whole entire offseason. They're patient with the draft. Everything fell their way. And they're not going to break. So I think that, just like you said, with Tyler Boyd going on different visits, finding out his true value, he's going to come running back to the Steelers maybe and be like, hey, and they're going to be like, yep, told you.
Maybe that was their plan the whole time. Yeah.
I know. They've been patient. They've been telling us that.
We also heard that Tomlin wants him and Omar doesn't want him. I don't know why that would be. Unless it is just purely a money thing. I know some were connecting the dots on Boyd before saying, well, you know, he's really talked ill of the Steelers in recent years after the Steelers and Bengals played. Okay, Patrick Queen had a back and forth with Mike Tomlin. Who cares about any of that?
No.
I don't care about any of that.
Right.
What difference does that make? James Harrison went and played for the Bengals. Like, if you can get a good player who was a Raven and Odell Beckham, you can get a good player who was a Bengal and Tyler Boyd, you go get him.
Yeah, James Harrison played for the Bengals and the Patriots, and literally 3 days ago, he was in Omar's office on TV.
Right.
Like, that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all. Money talks, playing time talks, having a chance to win talks. Like, would you rather, if you're Tyler Boyd too, by the way, go play for Tennessee in a young quarterback or a guy who's won a Super Bowl before in Russell Wilson?
He wants to play for Pittsburgh. He wants to come home. 100%, but he also wants paid the right direction of what he thinks his worth is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just going to have to come down because he's going to have to pick and choose. Like you just said, do you want to go play with Will Levis?
No.
Or do you want to come home for a little bit of less money and play for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, and I guess you could argue, because the other team he's meeting with is the Chargers, would you like to play with Justin Herbert and Harbaugh? Yeah,
probably.
You can make a compelling argument for that, and they don't got guys. But if you really want to be in Pittsburgh, LA's a long way away from Pittsburgh. I wouldn't rule this out now. I'm sure we're going to get a text from Caboli in mere moments that says it's not going to happen.
I think it's going to happen at some point.
I would rather get one of those big names that we've been talking about, but you're not collecting football cards here either. And if your wide receiver room starts with George Pickens, Tyler Boyd, Roman Wilson, are you the elite of the elite? No, you absolutely are not. But you're better than if you go into the season with Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson being in the conversation for your number two with Roman Wilson. No doubt about that. I don't want to lower fans' expectations. I still would like pie in the sky,
sure,
big-time dude to come in here, but there are options that make you better apart from just that. And so while you can't rule anything out with the way that this administration has gone about things, like they, if you are available, they're making calls on you. I think it's almost an 100% likelihood that they're walking away from this offseason with one more wide receiver added. Absolutely. No doubt about that
there's,
in my mind.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And in fact, BMAC said just that too.
And that this deal this could part's still Matt Cole. Happen. It's still very much on the table.
Matt Cole asking a question here, Ian.
This possibility.
I mean, honestly, when it comes to that, I think so. I think once the season starts, there will be, you know, a new face on the offense, an experienced player. Now, granted, there's a lot that could happen between now and then, but I think that's fair to say. And for us, you know, being fans of the Steelers, we would love that. I think that definitely improves the offensive structure.
I do love the idea of his source being a friend of a friend of a friend. It reminds me of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And my best friend, sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid who's going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious. But at least that guy got the Justin Fields thing right. You were going to say something? No? You're still working on your headphones over there?
I am.
So Doran's got new headphones, and they look like they cost more than my house. You're sitting over there between breaks, and you've got the full list of instructions.
Yes.
Have you gotten anywhere? Are you where you need to be in your ears right now?
I'm getting close.
Okay.
I'm not where I need to be, but I'm getting close. I'm trying to figure this out because it's like Bluetooth, and then and there's different volumes and different settings, and you have to tap things a ten times to get one setting, six times to get another setting, and then maybe my microphone is on because there's a setting with Bluetooth of a microphone on my headphones, but also I'm talking into the microphone and it doesn't know that I'm doing both, so maybe I'm just talking into my headsets, which is giving me the echo that I'm talking into the microphone.
So you're playing hurt today, basically. With that and the allergies.
And then the Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sucks.
Your beverage got stuck in the vending machine.
Everything's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to go home.
Jeff Hathorn joins us every single Thursday at 7:35, but because we had to move Bostic forward, he's going to join us at 9 o'clock today on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up next, a big-time Steelers insider with a revelation that I think should really tick Steelers fans off. We'll tell you what that is when we come back. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. It's a simple question. The deadline to pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option is today at 4 p.m. Steelers have still not done it yet. Will they do it? I don't know. Should they do it? That's the Twitter poll. You can vote at _ Adam Crowley. We'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes here. Before we get into what we had planned to talk about here, Doran, which was something that came up in Jerry Dulac's chat that I think is going to make Steelers fans really mad, a name that was thrown out there last night by Bryant McFadden, unprompted, was Terry McLaurin, wide receiver out of Washington. And I pay special attention to things when they're unprompted. When I am listening to Pat Narduzzi give a press conference about spring football, and we're not allowed to see a lot of spring football. Well, I'm not. You are. But the general media guys, you don't get to see all that's going on at spring football or even in the fall in the lead up to the regular season. And so when a coach, unsolicited, starts talking up a player, I think, okay, that's a guy to pay attention to. Everyone's going to ask about the quarterback. Everyone's going to ask about certain guys. It's the dudes who get brought up that aren't asked about where I go, okay, the coach says they're doing well, doing good things out there, and they're not asked about him. To me, that means he might be a player. Terry McLaurin was not brought up to Bryant McFadden last night by Matt Cole. It's not like he was out there, hey, give me a list of guys. Terry McLaurin was just brought up by Bryant McFadden. So I'm wondering if he tipped his hand a little bit there.
Maybe.
And if he might be a guy the Steelers really are interested in.
Would you be interested?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Why?
Four straight seasons of 1,000 yards. I don't know that he's a significant upgrade or anything like that over Deontay Johnson, but I don't think you need that. I think you need a Deontay Johnson who's not going to be a pain in the backside.
That's him.
And that, to me, is him. Do you like Terry McLaurin?
A lot. Yeah. I think he's played with some bad quarterbacks and has had highly, highly productive seasons in bad situations. Bad coaching, bad ownership, bad quarterbacks, and he's still bald, and you never heard a word out of him. Never heard a peep.
super consistent.
Just goes out there and plays.
87 catches, 77 catches, 77 catches, 79 catches, 12.9 yards a catch, 13.7, 15.5, 12.7, 1,100 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,000 yards. And again, with bad quarterback play, with a horrific owner, with really a head coach who, I mean, Ron Rivera's fine, but come on. Come on. Yeah, I would like him. He is 28, so he's older than Debo, but he's not so old that you'd go he's over the hill. Yeah, if that's the guy the Steelers brought in here, I would like that. Now, I kind of went back on something yesterday where I said I could live with, in fact, maybe even like more, a guy that just takes the top off the defense, mm-hmm. who you pair with Pickens, who also takes the top off the defense, and you make it really hard on the opposing team's defensive coordinator. Hey, who do you want to double? Who do you want to roll a safety up over? Blah, blah, blah. Terry McLaurin isn't exactly that guy. He's a Deontay. He's going to get open, yards after catch, good route runner. He's a complete wide receiver. So if he were the guy, sign me up.
Yes.
Are you ready for Dulac's chat?
Yes.
This surprised me. Some dude named Carlo slides into the chat. I was hoping it'd be some porn starlet. And I think the PM guys might try to infiltrate that chat. I have no proof.
Yeah, I don't mm-hmm. know.
I have no proof. I don't know. I think they might do that, which I always chuckle about by myself. So Carlo asks, who will be the left tackle and right tackle this season? And Dulac said, probably the same as last year, at least to start the season, unless they trade Dan Moore. Why? Now, it's not to say Dulac hasn't been wrong about some things this offseason, but let's just pretend like this is gospel here.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a problem with it for a couple of... A lot. Can I just lay it out and then you can give me yours?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, Faltano's not the same prospect that Broderick Jones was. Broderick Jones, we all knew, was going to come in and he was looked at a little bit like a project. He didn't play a ton of football at Georgia. He didn't. The stuff he did was very good, didn't give up sacks, he was a mauler, but he didn't play a lot. So I didn't agree with their decision to not start him immediately, but I could see how they got from point A to point B. Give him time to marinate. You're playing Bosa, you're playing Myles Garrett. That was their thoughts. Okay. I didn't buy it, but I could see how they got there. Faltano played 27 games at left tackle. He's not a project. He's a finished, as far as a college prospect is concerned, product. He's got a ton of experience. He was the best player on the best line in college football last year. Played his whole career at left tackle. So, he's not the same kind of prospect as Broderick. I'll start there. Then I'll go to this. If Dan Moore Jr. is your starting left tackle and Broderick is your starting right tackle, Faltano's going to come in then when Dan Moore Jr. does get benched and he's going to play left tackle. Is that the worst thing in the world? No. I might not even dislike that. But Broderick Jones, when you drafted him last year, you probably thought he'd be your left tackle. I just don't get why you'd do it, man.
You're not going to do it.
Okay, good.
They're not going to do that. Maybe. Wait, so do you have it right in front of you, what he said?
Yeah.
Let me hear it again.
Carlo asks, who will be the left tackle and right tackle this season? And Dulac says, probably the same as last year, at least to start the season, unless they trade Dan Moore.
Okay. Now, maybe to start in 2 weeks in OTAs, Dan Moore will start. Maybe. But to start the season, absolutely not, because it'll show in training camp what Faltano can do to defenders.
Talent is talent.
Talent is talent. And they're both hitting the ground running at the same time with the offense, too. It's not like Dan Moore's been in this offense.
Great point.
For years. It's not Matt Canada's offense. Now, if that were the case, and if, say, Canada was back, it was the same regime, but, you know, they just did the same things this year, I'd be like, yeah, well, Dan Moore Jr. is going to have a leg up because he knows the protections, he knows the offense, he knows the quarterback. Quarterback's different. Offense is different. Same offensive line coach as Dan Moore had, but whatever. But everything structurally is going to be The same for both of them as they hit the ground running here. And you know, actually probably today they have some practices and working out. But the pads and the ability will show in training camp. That's a position that you can win in training camp is offensive line. We always talk about quarterback, like especially with this situation. I don't see somebody winning the job over I don't see Justin Fields winning the job over Russell Wilson. I could see an offensive lineman winning a job over another offensive lineman in training camp because it's the trenches, pads pop, you have to use your pads.
Yeah.
You got to show everything that you need to do in a game as an offensive lineman and quarterback in training camp in preseason. You don't show everything.
That's a good point. I mean, you're not hitting Russell Wilson. You're not hitting Justin Fields. Their running ability doesn't really come into play in training camp. Wide receivers, you can evaluate-ish, but you're not taking pops over the middle of the field. You're not gonna. You can know whether or not our guy, Peyton Wilson, can run sideline to sideline, but he's not going to be tackling full-on, even though the Steelers do it more than others. Whereas offensive linemen and defensive linemen, they just got to go out there and play football.
Yep.
Yeah.
You could win jobs there, and that'll show literally the first day that they put pads on, I guarantee.
The other part of the answer from Dulac doesn't make sense to me either. So the full thing is probably the same as last year, at least to start the season, unless they trade Dan Moore. So you're going to tell me, a guy you're thinking about trading, if you can't find a suitor, is going to be your starting left tackle? That logic doesn't make any sense to me. We could trade this guy if we don't. He's our starting left tackle. What? What? If you're thinking about moving him, then he's not in your plans. Thus, why would you hold back Fautanu from achieving his potential and helping this line achieve its potential on day one? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Zero.
I would consider trading Dan Moore.
Yeah.
But he's my swing tackle to start.
Spencer Anderson can do that.
I mean, you could always go out there and pay a couple million bucks for a swing offensive tackle. Like, worst case scenario is Dan Moore's your swing tackle. Best case scenario is you find a taker for him. You traded Dotson last year. You traded Kendrick Green. I think you'd get a little bit more, if not a bit more, for a guy who started a tackle 35 games in a row or whatever it is. I mean, I would try to trade Dan Moore and see if you can maybe find a corner. Some team's got a wealth of corners, and you feel like you've now got a stacked offensive line room. Yeah, I would much rather do that than have him start day one at left tackle. Okay, coming up next, we will address our Twitter poll. Would you give Najee Harris, would you pick up his fifth-year option? Wait until you hear what Doug Whaley had to say about Najee. And I've finally gotten off the fence, and I have a real opinion on it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, which I should probably have done a couple of days ago, as this is talk radio.
Enough with this is three. He's had 3,000 yard rushing seasons. When it was 10 games, great. 16 games, okay. Now there's 17 games. Come on, I'm not a math man, but once you start averaging 100 yards a game, then that piques my interest. So right now, I'd say it's not one of my choices, but above average. But if I had to say anything, he's good, especially the way he ended the.
So Najee Harris, according to Doug Whaley, who was on with us yesterday, is a good player, but maybe a slightly above average is kind of what Doug was saying there. And the deadline on his fifth-year option to pick that up is today at 4 p.m. And what you heard there from Doug was Najee was good in the second half of last season. That's not wrong. First 8 games last year, Najee Harris, 3.7 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Najee Harris in the second half of last season, 4.2 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns. But even the Najee Harris of the second half of the season, Dorn, it doesn't jump off the screen at me. Like, the statistics, I never looked at him as an explosive player. 4.2 yards per carry. The reason why I'm not giving Najee the fifth-year option is because I think that kind of production is really easily replicated. I think James Conner is and was a better NFL running back than Najee Harris.
Huh.
James Conner didn't have the durability. He had injury issues out the wazoo in Pittsburgh. There's no question about that. He also averaged 4.5 yards a carry in a couple of years. So every time he toted the rock, he was more efficient than Najee Harris has been in his Steelers career, where his yards per attempt career average is 3.9. Last year was his best at 4.1, and even in the second half, when everyone thinks he was wonderful, it was 4.2. James Conner had 12 touchdowns in a season for the Steelers. Najee Harris's career high is 8. James Conner was a third-round pick. Najee Harris was a first-round selection. I say save the $7 million. You've got Jaylen Warren. Instead of picking up the option, when he's done after this year, you go out and you take a guy, not in the first round, not in the second round, but later than that. Or you find a free agent who, behind an improved offensive line, you don't have to pay all that much money, and you're still going to have success running the football.
I think that they think he's the vessel of what they want to do on offense. And not saying that Jaylen Warren wouldn't be a part of that. I think they look at them as a 1-2 punch for sure, but they look at Najee being the leader of how they want to run offense. And I think that if there's somebody championing for Najee Harris, it's definitely Mike Tomlin, but definitely Arthur Smith. I think he sees a lot of Derrick Henry and knows that that's what made him a successful offensive coordinator. I'm not saying that Najee's Derrick Henry at all, but I think that he sees a lot of what they did in 2019 with the Tennessee Titans in Najee Harris, and that'll be the vessel for them to run the offense that he really wants to run. So I think that maybe we don't value him as much. I think the Steelers really, really value him. That's why I anticipate them signing that today.
I get what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about him. I don't, because if they felt that strongly, I don't know why he'd wait until 4 o'clock today. I don't know why this wouldn't have just been picked up somewhere along the way. You know what I mean? Maybe that means nothing at all. Maybe they just want to announce it at 4. I don't know. We've also seen Arthur Smith, like last year, they had the first-round running back out of Texas, Bijan Robinson. They spread the ball around. Like, he was the primary ball carrier, but the second and third backs got a lot of run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they didn't have a Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he views him as the Derrick Henry guy or not, or if he just views him as a piece of the puzzle like he looked at Atlanta last year. The other thing is, and I don't know the answer to this, Najee Harris was not an Omar Khan pick, an Andy White pick. If Kevin Colbert were the GM right now, I think, yeah, they'd pick up the fifth-year option. I don't know how Omar Khan views the running back position and if he's more modern about it. Because we know...
Good question.
Thank you. Kevin Colbert wanted to pay Le'Veon. Tried his darndest to pay Le'Veon. Le'Veon turned him down. He was going to be, for like a minute, one of the highest-paid running backs in football until, I think it was Todd Gurley, like 2 days after that got paid. Like, they wanted to keep him around. I don't know if this regime looks at running backs the same way.
That is a good question.
I wish that I could say there's no way they, but I don't know. We're gonna find out by 4 o'clock today how they view the running back position. I just don't think Najee's special, and that would change it for me. Like, if you had Saquon Barkley for 3 years, it'd be easy for me. Christian McCaffrey, that'd be easy for me. I just don't look at Najee Harris and think he's. He's rarely running away from people, and the line's been bad and the coordinator was bad. But with the line being better and the coordinator being better, I think you could plug in a running back and get similar production. And Jaylen Warren, I keep bringing this up too, he was more productive on a yard per carry basis last year than was Najee Harris. I'm not saying he's a better player, but he was definitely more efficient.
I'd rather lock him up for $7 million for next year than let him walk and then potentially have to pay him way more than $7 million and lock up that position knowing that I have Jaylen and Najee there for at least 2-3 years.
If you don't pick up the option, you're just okay with losing him. Like, you're not, even if he has a great year this year, if you haven't picked up the option, I think you go into this year knowing it's going to be your last year, Najee Harris, which has some advantages. You could run him into the ground. It's not nice to the player, but it would benefit the team. Although I do think he and Jaylen have a nice 1-2 punch. You could rely on Najee Harris in a way that you might not otherwise have done so if you needed to preserve him for the length of some sort of contract. I also think he'd be pissed off for greatness. I think you would get the most motivated version of Najee Harris that you could possibly ever get.
Yeah.
When he's singing for his supper and he's playing for a new contract, not here in Pittsburgh, but someplace else. Now, could I also see that going the other way and he becomes a malcontent? Sure. But, buddy, you better prove yourself again, because if you don't, you're not going to be a hot commodity come free agency. We did see some running backs get paid this offseason. I haven't thought about it from this perspective. Does Najee want the fifth-year option to get picked up?
I would if I were him. I mean, there were some running backs that did get paid, but not like insanely, not what they probably should. And he was kind of in the forefront of that conversation with Saquon Barkley. And I would want to take some money just in case. You know, just in case they do try to run me into the ground.
And any hit could be your last.
Yeah. I mean, it does he fit other people's systems too? Like he fits Arthur Smith's system. Like is he going to be a commodity on the market for any other team that wants a big back? Not many teams want big backs.
So here's what I'm thinking, right? And you're right about that. Josh Jacobs is different because
he's not big.
He's Josh. He runs hard though. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But I think about what he's making now, $12 million a year.
I mean,
Joe Mixon now with the Texans. $9.8 million. Now, it falls off real quick after that. Derrick Henry, $8 million. DeAndre Swift, $8 million. Tony Pollard, $7.2 million. Now with the Titans, Aaron Jones, James Conner. A lot of those guys I just mentioned just got new contracts, all for more years than just one. Not guaranteed money, but at an average annual value higher than what Najee would get in his fifth-year option. So I could definitely see it both ways from Najee's point of view. All right, you don't want to give me the fifth-year option? Fine, I'll go bust my ass, and I'll get a contract that's going to pay me 2, 3, 4 years at $7 million plus. But you're also one hit away from let's say Najee, I don't want to see this happen, knock on wood, like he blows out his knee.
That's it.
You ain't getting nothing.
I mean, what's the franchise tag for running backs? You could still franchise after the fifth-year option.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if the franchise tag is probably around 10, or in the middle of like what whoever made who wasn't making $12 million that you said.
So it'd be $12 million.
Okay, I'm gonna get
11.9.
I'm gonna get $7 million next year for sure. Running backs aren't valued. And then I could possibly franchise tag. I'm taking that all day. So the next 2 years after this year, I'm kinda locked up.
So what should the Steelers do? That's Najee's perspective. What do you want them to do? Do you want to see them pick up his fifth-year option by 4 o'clock today? 412-928-9370. This will get the people going. I'll just say it right now. I don't think he's very good. I don't. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a useful player. I think he's been good in spots. I think he was good down the stretch last year for the last 3 or 4 games. But I don't think he's a special player. I don't even think he's all that good. What do you think? 412-928-9370. We'll kick that around a little bit more coming up next with you. And then we got Jeff Hathorn coming up at 9 o'clock to talk about the dreadful Pittsburgh Pirates. Should the Steelers pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option? Deadline is today at 4 p.m. smack dab in the middle of Pony and Muller. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll ask Jeff that question and then... Well, we got to talk to him about the Bucks at 9 o'clock. He'll be on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So somebody just texted him and said, stop giving Najee Harris yards per carry numbers. He was running behind a crap offensive line with a bad offensive coordinator. Okay, point taken. I got a sheet here, Doran. It has Najee Harris 32nd in the NFL at yards per carry. Scrolling up, got to scroll a long way. Oh, yeah, Jaylen Warren, 4th in the NFL in yards per carry. Same crap offensive coordinator, same not great offensive line. Now, maybe only one can exist while the other exists. Like maybe Jaylen Warren is only as good as he was because he's not the battering ram. I will take it under advisement that they're better off together, but... As I'm giving yards per carry, I think it's important for context, and Jaylen Warren was significantly better than was Najee Harris. Orlando in the West End is mad at me. Why?
Hey, fellas. Don't my dude. Like, you got to give credit where credit's due. He's been a staple for the Steelers for the last 4 years, man. And granted, we did get blessed with Warren, but I think they work better together, and I would give him the deal because he deserves it. I mean, regardless, you even give the argument about San Francisco's running back. He's been hurt for the first 2 years of his career. You're talking about him not being durable? The man's been playing hurt. He's been the only thing good that came out of our offense for the last 3 years. How you got to pay him, man?
Thank you, Orlando. I don't care about the past. Like,
but he's right, though. He's literally been the most consistent out of any.
Enough with this is three. He's had 3,000 yard rushing seasons. When it was 10 games, great. 16 games, okay. Now there's 17 games. Come on, I'm not a math man, but once you start averaging 100 yards a game, then that piques my interest. So right now, I'd say it's not one of my choices, but above average. But if I had to say anything, he's good, especially the way he ended the.
So Najee Harris, according to Doug Whaley, who was on with us yesterday, is a good player, but maybe a slightly above average is kind of what Doug was saying there. And the deadline on his fifth-year option to pick that up is today at 4 p.m. And what you heard there from Doug was Najee was good in the second half of last season. That's not wrong. First 8 games last year, Najee Harris, 3.7 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Najee Harris in the second half of last season, 4.2 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns. But even the Najee Harris of the second half of the season, Dorn, it doesn't jump off the screen at me. Like the statistics, I never looked at him as an explosive player. 4.2 yards per carry. The reason why I'm not giving Najee the fifth-year option is because I think that kind of production is really easily replicated. I think James Conner is and was a better NFL running back than Najee Harris. James Conner didn't have the durability. He had injury issues out the wazoo in Pittsburgh. There's no question about that. He also averaged 4.5 yards a carry in a couple of years. So every time he toted the rock, he was more efficient than Najee Harris has been in his Steelers career, where his yards per attempt career average is 3.9. Last year was his best at 4.1, and even in the second half, when everyone thinks he was wonderful, it was 4.2. James Conner had 12 touchdowns in a season for the Steelers. Najee Harris's career high is 8. James Conner was a third-round pick. Najee Harris was a first-round selection. I say save the $7 million. You've got Jalen Warren. Instead of picking up the option, when he's done after this year, you go out and you take a guy, not in the first round, not in the second round, but later than that. Or you find a free agent who behind an improved offensive line, you don't have to pay all that much money, and you're still going to have success running the football.
I think that they think he's the vessel of what they want to do on offense. And not saying that Jalen Warren wouldn't be a part of that. I think they look at them as a 1-2 punch for sure, but they look at Najee being the leader of how they want to run offense. And I think that if there's somebody championing for Najee Harris, it's definitely Mike Tomlin, but definitely Arthur Smith. I think he sees a lot of Derrick Henry and knows that that's what made him a successful offensive coordinator. I'm not saying that Najee's Derrick Henry at all, but I think that he sees a lot of what they did in 2019 with the Tennessee Titans in Najee Harris, and that'll be the vessel for them to run the offense that he really wants to run. So I think that maybe we don't value him as much. I think the Steelers really, really value him. That's why I anticipate them signing that today.
I get what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about him. I don't, because if they felt that strongly, I don't know why he'd wait until 4 o'clock today. I don't know why this wouldn't have just been picked up somewhere along the way. You know what I mean? Maybe that means nothing at all. Maybe they just want to announce it at 4. I don't know. We've also seen Arthur Smith, like last year, they had the first-round running back out of Texas, Bijan Robinson. They spread the ball around. Like, he was the primary ball carrier, but the second and third backs got a lot of run, and that's because they didn't have a Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he views him as the Derrick Henry guy or not, or if he just views him as a piece of the puzzle like he looked at Atlanta last year. The other thing is, and I don't know the answer to this, Najee Harris was not an Omar Khan pick, an Andy White'll pick. If Kevin Colbert were the GM right now, I think, yeah, they'd pick up the fifth-year option. I don't know how Omar Khan views the running back position and if he's more modern about it, because we know...
Good question.
Thank you. Kevin Colbert wanted to pay Le'Veon, tried his darndest to pay Le'Veon. Le'Veon turned him down. He was going to be, for like a minute, one of the highest paid running backs in football until I think it was Todd Gurley, like 2 days after that, got paid. Like, they wanted to keep him around. I don't know if this regime looks at running backs the same way.
That is a good question.
I wish that I could say there's no way they, but I don't know. We're going to find out by 4 o'clock today how they view the running back position. I just don't think Najee's special, and that would change it for me. Like, if you had Saquon Barkley for 3 years, it'd be easy for me. Christian McCaffrey, that'd be easy for me. I just don't look at Najee Harris and think he's rarely running away from people. And the line's been bad and the coordinator was bad. But with the line being better and the coordinator being better, I think you could plug in a running back and get similar production. And Jaylen Warren, I keep bringing this up too, he was more productive on a yard per carry basis last year than was Najee Harris. I'm not saying he's a better player, but he was definitely more efficient.
I'd rather lock him up for $7 million for next year than let him walk and then potentially have to pay him way more than $7 million and lock up that position knowing that I have Jaylen and Najee there for at least 2-3 years.
If you don't pick up the option, you're just okay with losing him. Like, you're not, even if he has a great year this year, if you haven't picked up the option, I think you go into this year knowing it's going to be your last year, Najee Harris, which has some advantages. You could run him into the ground. It's not nice to the player, but it would benefit the team. Although I do think he and Jaylen have a nice 1-2 punch. You could rely on Najee Harris in a way that you might not otherwise have done so if you needed to preserve him for the length of some sort of contract. I also think he'd be pissed off for greatness. I think you would get the most motivated version of Najee Harris that you could possibly ever get.
Yeah.
When he's singing for his supper and he's playing for a new contract, not here in Pittsburgh, but someplace else. Now, could I also see that going the other way and he becomes a malcontent? Sure. But, buddy, you better prove yourself again, because if you don't, you're not going to be a hot commodity come free agency. We did see some running backs get paid this offseason. I haven't thought about it from this perspective. Does Najee want the fifth-year option to get picked up?
I would if I were him. I mean, there were some running backs that did get paid, but not like insanely, not what they probably should, and he was kind of in the forefront of that conversation with Saquon Barkley, and I would want to take some money just in case. You know, just in case they do try to run me into the ground.
And any hit could be your last.
Yeah. I mean, does he fit other people's systems too? Like, he fits Arthur Smith's system. Like, is he going to be a commodity on the market for any other team that wants a big back? Not many teams want big backs.
So here's what I'm thinking, right? And you're right about that. Josh Jacobs is different because
he's not big.
He's Josh Jacobs. He runs hard, though. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But I think about what he's making now, $12 million a year.
I mean,
Joe Mixon now with the Texans, $9.8 million. Now, it falls off real quick after that. Derrick Henry, 8. DeAndre Swift, 8. Tony Pollard, 7-2. Now with the Titans, Aaron Jones, James Conner. A lot of those guys I just mentioned just got new contracts, all for more years than just one. Not guaranteed money, but at an average annual value higher than what Najee would get in his fifth-year option. So I could definitely see it both ways from Najee's point of view. All right, you don't want to give me the fifth-year option? Fine, I'll go bust my ass, and I'll get a contract that's going to pay me 2, 3, 4 years at $7 million plus. But you're also one hit away from let's say Najee, I don't want to see this happen, knock on wood, like he blows out his knee.
That's it.
You ain't getting nothing.
I mean, what's the franchise tag for running backs? You could still franchise after the fifth-year option.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if the franchise tag is probably around 10, or in the middle of, like, whoever was making $12 million that you said.
So it'd be $12 million.
Okay, I'm gonna get
11.9.
I'm gonna get $7 million next year for sure. Running backs aren't valued. And then I could possibly franchise tag. I'm taking that all day. So the next 2 years after this year, I'm kind of locked up.
So what should the Steelers do? That's Najee's perspective. What do you want them to do? Do you want to see them pick up his fifth-year option by 4 o'clock today? 412-928-9370. This will get the people going. I'll just say it right now. I don't think he's very good. I don't. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a useful player. I think he's been good in spots. I think he was good down the stretch last year for the last three or four games. But I don't think he's a special player. I don't even think he's all that good. What do you think? 412-928-9370. We'll kick that around a little bit more coming up next with you. And then we got Jeff Hathorn coming up at 9 o'clock to talk about the dreadful Pittsburgh Pirates. Should the Steelers pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option? Deadline is today at 4 p.m. Smack dab in the middle of Pony and Muller. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll ask Jeff that question, and then, well, we got to talk to him about the Bucks at 9 o'clock. He'll be on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So somebody just texted in and said, stop giving Najee Harris yards per carry numbers. He was running behind a crap offensive line with a bad offensive coordinator. Okay, point taken. I got a sheet here, Doran. It has Najee Harris 32nd in the NFL at yards per carry. Scrolling up, got to scroll a long way. Oh, yeah, Jaylen Warren 4th in the NFL in yards per carry. Same crap offensive coordinator, same not great offensive line. Now, maybe only one can exist while the other exists. Like maybe Jaylen Warren is only as good as he was because he's not the battering ram. I will take it under advisement that they're better off together. But as I'm giving yards per carry, I think it's important for context. And Jaylen Warren was significantly better than was Najee Harris. Orlando in the West End is mad at me. Why?
Hey, fellas. Don't worry, my dude. Like, you got to give credit where credit's due. He's been a staple for the Steelers for the last 4 years, man. And granted, we did get blessed with Warren, but I think they work better together, and I would give him the deal because he deserves it. I mean, regardless, you even give the argument about San Francisco's running back. He's been hurt for the first 2 years of his career. You're talking about him not being durable? The man's been playing hurt. He's been the only thing good that came out of our offense for the last 3 years. How you got a pain, man?
Thank you, Orlando. I don't care about the past. Like,
but he's right, though. He's literally been the most consistent out of anybody.
Consistently average, I think, yeah.
But who? I mean, that's better than everybody else has been.
I wonder what James Conner would have done behind the same line.
Probably the same thing.
Well, then draft another one in the third round and don't pay Najee Harris $7 million and spend $7 million on something more fun. That's what I would do. It's not a ton of money. It really isn't.
It's not.
It's not. But you're also going to have to pay quarterbacks coming up here soon. And I don't know. I have no idea what that's going to look like. None. Is Justin Fields going to sign a bridge deal like Jordan Love? Or are they going to wind up having to pay Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield money? I don't know the answer to those questions. It could be a rookie quarterback and you're paying nobody. But I need as much money as I can, not tied up in a position that I think is eminently replaceable. And it's guaranteed money. And so imagine this. Again, who knows what's going to happen, but you're guaranteed to pay him $7 million. What if he gets hurt this year at a position where guys get hurt all the time? I just don't want to tie myself to that. I think they will, though.
Yes.
I do think they will. I'm a little bit surprised it's taken this long. We're getting close to the deadline here. I don't know why you wouldn't just do it. Maybe it's just standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I think that's how they just operate. Yeah. That's how they do things. I think they do it.
But I'm throwing
that $7 million
all...
is nothing.
I don't know if it's nothing. It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
I mean, you got tight ends making more than that.
Yeah.
Second string tight ends.
I'd pay a tight end that money. You also have to pay Pat Freiermuth this offseason. I guess you don't have to, but you could be paying Pat Freiermuth this offseason. Cam Hayward's going to come off the books here soon. So it's not like you'll be hurting for money. I just think in this day and age, there are better ways to allocate dollars than paying a running back guaranteed $7 million. Coming up next, we'll ask Jeff Hathorn the question, does he think the Steelers will give Najee the fifth-year option? Would he give the fifth-year option if he were in Omar Khan's shoes? Plus, we got to talk to him about these Buccos. It is getting late early for the Pittsburgh Pirates. First, though, fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high of 83. Doran, are you having trouble with the headphones?
Of course.
You've been stringing together some curse word concoctions during the breaks, and I know you're frustrated. I don't want to laugh at you, but I kind of am. Should the Steelers pick up Najee Harris's fifth-year option? Deadline is today at 4 p.m. smack dab in the middle of Pony and Muller. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll ask Jeff that question, and then, well, we got to talk to him about the Bucks at 9 o'clock. He'll be on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So somebody just texted in and said, stop giving Najee Harris yards per carry numbers. He was running behind a crap offensive line with a bad offensive coordinator. Okay, point taken. I got a sheet here, Doran. It has Najee Harris 32nd in the NFL at yards per carry. Scrolling up, got to scroll a long way. Oh, yeah, Jaylen Warren, 4th in the NFL in yards per carry. Same crap offensive coordinator, same not great offensive line. Now, maybe only one can exist while the other exists. Like maybe Jaylen Warren is only as good as he was because he's not the battering ram. I will take it under advisement that they're better off together, but as I'm giving yards per carry, I think it's important for context, and Jaylen Warren was significantly better than was Najee Harris. Orlando in the West End is mad at me. Why?
Hey, fellas. Dorm, my dude. Like, you got to give credit where credit's due. He's been a staple for the Steelers for the last 4 years, man. And granted, we did get blessed with Warren, but I think they work better together, and I would give him the deal because he deserves it. I mean, regardless, you even give the argument about San Francisco's running back. He's been hurt for the first 2 years of his career. You're talking about him not being durable? The man's been playing hurt. He's been the only thing good that came out of our offense for the last 3 years. How you got to pay him, man?
Thank you, Orlando. I don't care about the past.
But he's right, though. He's literally been the most consistent out of anybody.
Consistently average, I think, yeah.
But who? I mean, that's better than everybody else has been.
I wonder what James Conner would have done behind the same line.
Probably the same thing.
Well, then draft another one in the third round and don't pay Najee Harris $7 million and spend $7 million on something more fun. That's what I would do. It's not a ton of money. It really isn't.
It's not.
It's not. But you're also going to have to pay quarterbacks coming up here soon. And I don't know. I have no idea what that's going to look like. None. Is Justin Fields going to sign a bridge deal like Jordan Love? Or are they going to wind up having to pay Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield money? I don't know the answer to those questions. It could be a rookie quarterback and you're paying nobody. But I need as much money as I can, not tied up in a position that I think is eminently replaceable. And it's guaranteed money. And so imagine this. And again, who knows what's going to happen, but you're guaranteed to pay him $7 million. What if he gets hurt this year at a position where guys get hurt all the time? I just don't want to tie myself to that. I think they will, though.
Yes.
I do think they will. I'm a little bit surprised it's taken this long. We're getting close to the deadline here. I don't know why you wouldn't just do it. Maybe it's just standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I think that's how they just operate. Yeah. That's how they do things. I think they do it.
But I'm throwing
$7 million is nothing.
I don't know if it's nothing. It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
I mean, you got tight ends making more than that.
Yeah.
Second string tight ends.
I'd pay a tight end that money. You also have to pay Pat Freiermuth this offseason. I guess you don't have to, but you could be paying Pat Freiermuth this offseason. Cam Hayward's going to come off the books here soon. So it's not like you'll be hurting for money. I just think in this day and age, there are better ways to allocate dollars than paying a running back guaranteed $7 million. Coming up next, we'll ask Jeff Hathorn the question, does he think the Steelers will give Najee the fifth-year option? Would he give the fifth-year option if he were in Omar Khan's shoes? Plus, we got to talk to him about these buckos. It is getting late early for the Pittsburgh Pirates. First, though, fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet, sunchevy.com. Today, high of 83. Doran, are you having trouble with the headphones?
Of course.
You've been stringing together some curse word concoctions during the breaks, and I know you're frustrated. I don't want to laugh at you, but I kind of am.
This is life before tech care. Cracked computers and leaky fridges.
I'm sorry, we just don't cover that.
This is the future of tech care. Thousands of devices are covered. Repairs and replacements are always close by. And 1 a.m. problems? Get 1 a.m. support. Finally, you're not just covered, you're taken care of. Get the future of tech care at Asurion.com/techcare.